The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yep. Love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well that seems tragic. Got her catching the field like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a Matt Burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa. Buffalo money need extra bills till I'm eating so much. I got
Yo, what is up? Happy freaking Tuesday. It's a chop up and it's your boy Sterls for the girls. And I'm joined tonight, as always, by All Bro Poe. What's goody?
How's your Halloween weekend?
Hey man, you know, it's all about the chocolate, bro. Giving out chocolate to the children.
Yeah.
To the children. You know, I ain't got none. None.
You ain't get none? You didn't text the parent text?
I mean, I got some to give out, but I mean I don't have none for me. You know, that's the problem. That's a problem. You know what I'm saying? But when we get off of here, you know, I'm going to have to get me a little something for me. You know what I'm saying? So, but happy freaking Tuesday, everyone. Bills Mafia. NFL trade deadline has passed. And tonight on the show, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about where the team stands as of right now. We're going to talk about the new additions to the team. There have been two additions to the team. We're going to get into those and kind of just flesh it out, man. We got a big game coming up Sunday Night Football with the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to get some thoughts on there because I think that's a monster game. The schedule gets tougher and tougher as we go. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So with that being said, you know, I named the show tonight Tricked or Treat. Okay, because like every time the trade deadline season is around, you know, as fans, we get our hopes up. We get our hopes up about who we have, who we don't have, right? Who can they get? How much would it cost? Can they make the trade? Will Bean, you know, be asleep on trade deadline day? Will he be active? We hear a lot of rumors and false reports and so forth. And look. First of all, like, tell me this. Who did you think they were going to get? Like, who did you want to get? And who did you think they were going to get?
I thought they weren't going to get anybody. I didn't think that Bean was sleeping. I just think that when Bean goes into these conversations, he kind of, like, he goes into it very conservative. And everybody wants to win their trade, right? So he's not always willing to give up things to get players now, generally.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I think for me after the Bucks game, I kind of, you know, I was good with not getting anything on offense. Like, I saw what I needed to see, right? Now, if you would have said, like, give me D-Hop, I would have been cool with that. Like, I would have been cool with D-Hop. Judy was off the table just because I didn't think they were going to give up the conversation, and they didn't have that talk. But it was one of those things where, okay, I saw what I needed to see out of Khalil Shakir. I saw what I needed to see out of Dalton Kincaid, who had a great game, by the way, we didn't really talk about because it was already past our showtime. But you see the trajectory, right? You see what my dog's about to do, right? But anyway, so you know, I kind of put to bed the idea that the Bills were gonna, you know, do something on the defense side of the ball. You know, we talked about defensive tackle, we talked about linebacker and cornerback. And for me personally, I thought, okay, like cornerback is a need. Where will the Bills press into? Linebacker is still a definite need, but today waking up, I'm thinking we saw the reports about Jalen Johnson. So I have my hearts and hopes set on, okay, we're going to get Jalen Johnson. Like, man, he got to make it happen. I didn't see the Rasul Douglas signing. I didn't. Now, somebody had mentioned on Twitter and looped me in, you know, I commented on, I was okay with like, okay, yeah, like he's got good ball skills, but I mean, how did the trade take you? And was a third round pick for compensation too much in your opinion?
Well, okay, so when I got the news about, or when I heard about Jalen, and like I actually gathered the information on what it was going to take and what he was looking for out of getting traded, mm-hmm. I never thought that was going to work out because I thought that Bean would be giving up too much for a one-year rental, and I just don't think that we have the money to give Jalen Johnson going forward. So like I always thought that would be a tough get. I actually, once I realized that it wouldn't be just a one-year rental, I actually thought that we would end up getting Levi. I thought that it would boil down to we would wait until anybody could get Jalen, wait, and then see if we can get him for cheap for a one-year rental. And then we weren't going to be able to get that. And then I thought Levi would pop up as like a last-minute trade. I thought Rasul was an option, but I didn't like went to got really late into the day when there was like an hour left. I was like, okay, no way they're just going to move from Jalen to Rasul hella fast and get it done. So it was a nice surprise to actually get something done. I actually thought nothing was going to happen and we were just going to pick out a free agency. Like I still think Ndamukong Suh is a possible target. I still think that there's linebackers. Blake Martinez is still trying to make his comeback if he's good or not at linebacker. He was getting 140 plus tackles a game before he went out in early retirement. So I still think there's some moves to be made that I thought we would actually be at. I didn't see this trade coming through. I didn't see a trade coming through at all, even though Bean was probably still working on stuff.
And the only reason why I question or ask the question of, you know, was the compensation right? Because you looked around the league today and we saw Chase Young go for a third round pick. Montez Sweat went for a second. And you talk about like pass rush is a premium position. So it's cornerback, right? I felt like, okay, based on that and what's going around, you know, you think that a Rasul Douglas is a fourth or fifth round selection, you know, in compensation wise. Now the player on the field, I think he's a good player. You know, it's not one of those, it's not Jalen Johnson, but it's a tier under that. But, I've liked Rasul for a while. Like, you know, even out of West Virginia, I thought the dude had phenomenal ball skills and he still does. He's not the most twitchy athletic cornerback, but he's more athletic than we aforementioned, Levi Wallace. Right. But one of the things that really hits home to me is that, you know, you got Micah and Jordan in the back end who are physical types of safeties. Like they're not afraid to, you know, stick their nose in, supporting the run game and so forth. And I like what Christian Benford adds to that. Like I think he's in the mold of a Micah and a Jordan in terms of like how they fit the run. And now you have Rasul Douglas. So he is a straight dog. Like, yeah. So you got four guys back there that will lay that they're going to hit you. And I love that. I love Rasul's game that way. And like, you know, we've had guys here who really weren't great athletically in terms of cornerback play, right? And you put them in a zone scheme. I think it's the perfect scheme for Rasul Douglas.
Yeah, and so when you talk about value, and you think it's not black and white, right? Like value for our scheme, Rasul playing in our scheme with our DBs, the formula that we have here. It's a different value than him going to Denver and playing man on the other side of
right.
Japan, right? So, like, if you're going to say a third is too much, then we haven't seen him play here. So we've seen him play in Green Bay, but we haven't seen him play here. So maybe a third is too much for the production that he would have gave you in Green Bay. But maybe they see the scheme and how he fits, and a third is not too much with how he's going to fit here in Buffalo. He comes up in tackles. He had 80-something last year, 83 last year, I think. He's already has 32 tackles this year. He's a pretty sure tackler. He's going to keep things in front of him, which is what you want here. He plays within the system. He never steps outside of his bounds, which is also what you want here. That's what you get from Christian Benford.
Right.
And then it allows your safeties to go play, right? Like, they don't have to worry about somebody getting beat over the top and not being able to drive on things. And in this defense, with the safeties you do have, you want them to be able to go play. You know what I mean? You don't want them to have to be covering for somebody just in case they don't know exactly where they're supposed to be. And I think Rasul gives you this veteran kind of leadership and dog mentality that you look for in a corner. And it could be he could have been a better fit than Jalen, just based off of how he plays. Now, Jalen's young and he's amazing, but like Rasul could fit here like we weren't expecting right now.
Yeah. I think it's a really good move. I did not like the fact that they were even sniffing Levi Wallace. Like, you let him go for a reason. I understand he knows your system and so forth, but like, I'm good on Levi. Like, no, come on.
I would have liked Levi. No, there was no other option. Because I like the way Levi also plays. Now he doesn't tackle. He doesn't tackle as well as Rasul. He doesn't make as many plays as Rasul. But as far as keeping everything in front of him, Levi does do that in this system. So if we weren't going to get anybody, adding him for depth, if your plan is to never play Kaiir, I didn't mind it. Obviously, I'm happier with the Rasul play.
Yeah. You know, we talked about, playing too high, right? You know, I think Rasul, I think he's good 40 and in. You know what I'm saying? Like, when the opposing team gets into 40 and in, I think that's where he's going to really shine. Red zone, he's going to really shine. So, like, for instance, let's make this make sense for people. You know, when they played the Patriots and they played – who was before that? Oh, the Bucks. Patriots and the Bucks, where we saw, you know, on the goal line, those inside slant fades kind of, you know, Taron Johnson's keyed up on that. Like, I think that's where, you know, you'll see, you know, matchup wise, a 6'2 corner is a much better matchup than a Taron Johnson in those types of situations. So I think this allows them to kind of mix and match in the red zone or in those situations where the matchups are better. Now, teams like Miami, teams with speed, I think we're going to have issues there, but they're just going to have to play, you know, kind of a softer shell. But,
I mean, we're not losing speed by bringing in Rasul in comparison to what we did have.
Right, no.
So, like, it's not like you're going to have to play it any different than we played Miami when we won 48-20. Mm-hmm. It's just like you got to play it the same. And Rasul probably makes more plays than – he's got better ball skills and he probably makes more plays than Dane. So.
And that's kind of the thing that the defense is missing in terms at the defensive back position is turnover, interceptions and stuff like that. And I think Rasul gives you that. You know, I think the Bills are we've shown that we aren't very good at defending screens. I think he's going to really, really, really help out there along with Christian Benford. I think that look, I'm not here to the crap on Dane. I just think he's a serviceable depth piece, right? Yeah. I don't think he needs to be starting.
He's good depth. Good depth right there. Like,
He's good depth.
I think the biggest problem was Dane was like his ability to like they utilize their corners and pushing everything back inside as far as runs. And like a lot of the struggles with this team and their run is is our corners come up and miss. And there was a play, I want to say a screenplay against the Patriots. It might have been a fly sweep where Dane had a one-on-one. He came in flying. He missed. Like, those are plays that Rasul's going to make on these edges where he's a pretty sure tackler. I do like that he doesn't really get a lot of pass interferences either. Rasul is fairly smart, and that's also another problem we've had is pass interferences inside the 40, getting them in the end zone. Like, I'm pretty sure Kyer has three pass interferences in the red zone this year.
Yeah.
And that lands them on the one, and one was for game. Like, one was on the game. Thank God Taron played good defense regardless if you think it was a penalty or not. But, I think Rasul is a good pickup. I think that with the injuries, the needle kind of slid a little bit for us, and I think Rasul puts us back at a good happy medium as far
right.
as you know what I mean.
So you get a 28-year-old corner who doesn't really get injured. I think he's only missed a game or two in the last few years. You get a guy who has great ball skills, a guy who can play press man when he has to. It's not like he's just a complete zone corner. But you know the thing that no one's talking about. You know what I love about this move, and it might not come to fruition this weekend. But you have a guy. You have two guys now that can get physical with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. You got two verified dudes that can handle those big receivers on the outside. So you're not going to get pushed around. These guys aren't going to be winning jump balls over them all the time. I'm not saying we have a height problem at cornerback, but when you have, you know, I think a lot is made about speed and being able to turn your hips as a cornerback, which are excellent traits. But what you can't teach size and length, right? 6'2", I think he has like 32-inch arms lengthwise. Like that's tall and lanky. So what he lacks in recovery speed, you know, he gains with length and athleticism. So I love that. I love that they can be able to match up with Cincinnati. And I hope that I don't know if he's going to start this weekend, but I think he's going to see some snaps.
I don't think that you go and get him and not play him this week. With the safeties you do have, like, the communication is always there on whatever side he ends up being on. So, like, he can come in and play even knowing 60% of what we got going on the defense, I feel like.
Yeah, so Daryl brings up a good point here. He says that's key against the Bengals too, Sterles. Disrupt the wide receiver's timing. I think that's key. I think you gotta get in their face. And we can kind of shift to this, but before we do that, let's go ahead and do our sponsor, shall we? Because, you know, I got some stuffs to say about this game on Sunday, and I want to talk about Touchdown Lenny too.
Hey, football fans. The season is here, so you know that means family, football, and food. But for the NFL's best fan base, it can't be just any food. Bills Mafia only eats the best during the season, and the best is Picasso's Pizza. With four great locations in Western New York, it's so easy to treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's. We are Buffalo Pizza, shipping local and nationwide. Order online at picassospizza.net.
Shout out to Picasso's Pizza. Get you a slice of Picasso's, man. You know, they sent me a little care package. You know, some guys on Rumblings, you know, I was appreciative.
Basically picked up mine and took it to the tailgate last weekend.
So you didn't get none.
I wasn't gonna eat it. Well, because, like, you know, I'm on my diet. I was happy that they got it.
Yeah, you're dieting. Yeah. You're on your health kick. Well, you know, just because of that, I think I might order me some Picasso's and have it sent here.
To Denver?
Yeah.
What?
Because our pizza here is mid.
Bro, that's a long order. That's a long order, bro. That's
you know, deep, sometimes, bro. Hey, sometimes it feels good to have a taste of buffalo, man. And when I can't get wings shipped to me, you know, Picasso pizza ain't bad, bro.
That's a long trip though for a pizza to just sit and, you know.
It's
I mean?
Planning. It's planning, young guy. It's planning, you know, okay.
You might as well just come all the way up here. You might as well fly over here.
You know, I do need to. Well, here's the deal. It's cold up there. Now, we did get some snow here last weekend, but snow in Buffalo and snow in Colorado, it's not even the same thing. Like it gets, y'all get real, real cold, like humidity. We don't really have humidity. It just gets cold, but y'all got real like, so I'm like, okay, if I come up there, I ain't trying to get no lake effect snow or have to wear all these layers, bro. I just can't do it, man.
Yeah, well, cold is cold in my opinion. So like, no matter what cold you in, if it's cold over there, cold over here is cold. You know what I mean?
Cold is cold. All right, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about the next edition, then we'll talk about the Bengals and what that matchup looks like. Touchdown Lenny, he's on the practice squad. What are your thoughts on Lenny, how he fits, why they went and got another running back? Despite having Damian Harris, who's on injured reserve right now, but how do you see his fit in the offense?
I mean, he has something that the other guys don't have, which is playoff atmosphere and Super Bowl atmosphere mm-hmm. winning. And I can't really say what he's going to give you. He hasn't played in a year, so like. I can't really say for sure if he's going to get – if you're getting what you got from the last time he was playing, you're going to get a solid running back that can play late in the season. I don't know how long he would be. And, I mean, he might give you more than Latavius, even though Latavius has earned his spot on the roster. He has more – I feel like Fournette has more upside – if you're getting the best Leonard Fournette and he's younger.
Yeah, I like the fit. I feel like, you know, in terms of like banging inside, right? Like between the tackles, short yardage, he could still do that. I mean, he's a big man. Like you don't just lose that. The pass block, I think here's the deal. Like when you have Damian Harris and James Cook, when James Cook is in the game, like, I think it tips their hand a little bit with their tendency, what they're going to do. But when you have Leonard Fournette in the game, I think defenses can't key in necessarily on what they're going to do, whether it's pass or run. And the guy, like you mentioned, he does give you an opportunity to catch the ball in the backfield, which the Bills don't throw to the backs anyway. Let's be honest. They don't throw to the backs. But when he's in the game,
we had one. Me and Sarah both posted on Twitter as soon as we thought there was no way. I thought it was banned in Buffalo, throwing running back screens.
You know what else I like? I saw that I liked. I like the fact that they did a tight end shovel pass. They put Kincaid in motion and gave him a shovel pass.
Was there a penalty in it?
I don't remember if there was a penalty on the play, but more of that. So that's taken straight out of the Andy Reid playbook.
Yeah.
And by all means, Ken Dorsey, take all the stuff out of Andy Reid's playbook, please. You're going to have me on here cussing. You know what's funny? Everything that you say, Sarah, just right, Jer, like I could be over here spitting bars, son.
Sterling's weekly.
She will never. I don't know what it is with Sarah and why she hates me. I don't know what it is.
I speak facts
every day.
You speak mid. You speak mid sometimes.
Yo, dang. Whatever. But anyway, I'll handle Sarah tomorrow. I'll be on her show tomorrow night. And I'm gonna bring the thunder. Like I'm giving her all kinds of hell tomorrow night. So with that being said, all right, let's talk about these Bengals, man, because now that the trade deadline is over. We know what the Bills have done, what they're doing, what the plan is moving forward. We know that they didn't feel the need to address the offense in any kind of way, right, through a trade. We got the Bengals coming up now. This is where, like, it gets real. It gets real quick. And a lot of us really aren't talking about it on Twitter yet. I think we'll probably start shifting that tomorrow. But there's still some wounds from the last Bengals matchup that which was a loss. You got the DeMar Hamlin thing, which is, you know, the Monday night game. We all know. Like, I don't know if you could speak on this. Has Jordan said anything about the mindset going into this week? Because it's got to be big for the players. Because when you look around the AFC, like, they've beaten the Chiefs. They can beat the Chargers. They, you know, like, there's nobody else to it, – it's the Bengals. They've shown that they can't beat the Bengals. Ain't nobody worried about the Jaguars. Like, if the Bills play the Jaguars – in the playoffs, the Bills are going to smoke them boys. But it's the Bengals.
Yep.
What do you think?
I don't this is like my thing. Is like everybody on Twitter, big week, Bengals week, everything that happened last year. Like, these players just approach every game the same way. That it's not like they, like, the outside noise is what hinders their ability to focus on. So, like, all of the DeMar Hamlin talk that's going to happen this week, like, and then, like, he may not suit, and then it's like, that's going to be a huge story, and all of that stuff comes, that's all not outside noise. Media want to answer these questions. These players are just locked in on doing their job each and every week. So, like, is it a bigger game than any
other game?
Bro,
that's coach speak. That's coach speak.
That's a fact.
You mean to tell
me my conversations with Jordan, that's just like, and when I was playing, like every game sure. is a huge game. You know what I mean? Like every game is a big, there's no bigger game than it's going to be. There's more people watching. There's more people doing this, or whether it's a Sunday night football game. Like that gives you a little extra juice, but like.
That's what I'm talking about. Like that extra juice that not that the preparation is different, right? Like not that they don't take the game seriously. But there's something in mankind that rises up to moments. You know what I'm saying? Like the Super Bowl is a moment. A playoff game is a moment, right? Like,
but this is neither of those.
Huh?
This is neither of those.
It's still a big game.
Every week, and because of the losses that we have, is a big game.
Get out of here with that coach speak, yes. Get out of here with that, bro.
We have to win it because, like, if you don't take it that way, then you have losses like the Jacksonville game. You have losses.
Everybody doesn't have that mindset, though. That's the thing.
The majority of professional football players have that mindset. That's why, like, that's like the difference in like fans. Oh, they need to come out ready for this, bro. They need to come out ready for every game. It's NFL. It's any given week.
The margin for error is super small.
We lost to Mac Jones. You know what I mean? Like that's every week you come out and you play flat, you could lose. And that's to anybody. That's to the Bears. Denver just beat Kansas City this week. Like that's you think Kansas City went into that game and was like, oh,
Mahomes, you know what I mean? Mahomes had the flu.
I don't want to hear that.
And Tay-Tay wasn't there, so
yeah, I don't want to hear that either. You know what I mean? I'm not really trying to hear that either. Just like if you don't come into the week prepared to the best, like just regular juice, like you're gonna lose that game. And that's every given. As people wonder how we lose to certain teams, how we lose to this team, it's because we didn't prepare. I guess we have the talent to win every week, but it's how you prepare, even with the injuries.
Yeah. So. What I recall from the Bengals game, like let's talk about it. We're gonna open a wound here. Maybe not for you because you don't care, but for people like me who are emotionally invested in this team that care, you know, we're gonna open up a wound here. I remember sitting in the living room. Now I usually, or last season, I went out to the bar and I would do my podcast there and I'd watch the game and whatever because I did the pregame show. This year, I said, nah, because I do the postgame show, I'm just going to watch it at home. It's cheaper, get the ticket, whatever. I watch them at home. And last year, I watched this game at home. And so sitting there, man, and it's like, it's snowing, it's the playoffs. Like everything felt great, like going into the game. Like, I'm like, okay, the Bills can do this. Like you saw what they were going to do to you in the first few drives. Like they were going to put up points on you, but like, you thought, okay, they're going to come out with a different defensive game plan and mindset, and they're going to really limit Joe Burrow and these boys with that banged up offensive line. Well, we know what happened in the game. We got dog walked. you know, we got cornerbacks playing 7 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage and so forth, and just giving Joe Burrow free access throws all freaking day. They get up 14 points, and then we saw, you know, this offense that we've seen glimpses of this season already with the slow start and the sluggish play, no rhythm and all that kind of stuff. And I get into this week, and I'm like, all right, what should and what can the Bills do offensively against these Bengals to start fast?
Just I play how they played in the first half last week. And, like, they we've watched this Bills team play against the Dolphins, right? And just continuously foot to throw points. Like, that's a possibility in every game that we play. Like, the Bengals defense isn't overly good. The Bengals offense has struggled as points this year. Yeah, they just beat a Niners team that was struggling. And after that game, it's like, oh, I do. The amount of people that I saw, like, oh, we're going to get smoked by the Bengals next week. Like, the Niners have been dominating teams. They lost to their two previous games to bad teams. Like, it's a, this, especially this year, like, you just have to be better on that day. And the Bills are, at talent-wise, better on that day. So, if I had to give a rhyme or reason to keep the – you just have to play how they played in the first half of this last game and not play conservative, not play scary, throw these receivers off their timing a little bit. Burrow's not moving all that well this year. So, you got to get after the quarterback probably with four, maybe five on third and longs. Like, they just got to play like how they can't, like how they can't play. It's not an overly complicated win. You just play how you can play.
Yo, and that's a good point. So here's what I feel about this game. You know, the Bengals are a good team, but let's talk about the 49ers for just a second. Like, I feel like the 49ers, like, they've been figured out offensively. You're just not seeing the same production. Debo, now people are like, well, Debo Samuel's not playing and McCaffrey's kind of hurt, you know. That's not the excuse. I just think that Brock Purdy's a limited quarterback. And when you get pressure on him, a guy who doesn't have athletic chops like that to evade the rush and so forth and has a strong arm, he's gonna have problems. It's no secret. And anytime, you know, you can make a team one dimensional. In the NFL, you're going to feast. And they got a really good defensive coordinator and Lou Anarumo over there, right? So I think the Bills, yeah, they have to come out. They have to start fast. Like, and I love this kind of game, that Sunday Night Football, two of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think Josh is going to be laser focused. He's going to be good. It's going to be a good game. But here's the deal, though. I think the Bills are going to have to be able to run the football. They're going to have to be able to run the football. I don't think that, you know, when you turn in terms of trenches, I think Trey Hendrickson is I think he's on the injury report. I'm not sure. I have to go check that and look. But they could be had in the run game. I'm not worried about Joe Mixon. Like, Joe Mixon, he's mid. He's got 4 yards of carry. But, you know, that
this Bengals defense can – this Bengals defense can be beat any way. They can be beat – by us coming out in 4 minutes and throwing the ball for 350 yards, they can be beat with James Cook getting 100 yards on. Like, their defense is not that, like, I mean, they're average and they have a good offense.
Sure.
Like, the problem with, like, feeling like you need to run the football is then you come out and you overdo it. Like, you over try to push running the football rather than, yo, let's come out, let's play comfortable, call a game like you called last week in the 4 minute where you can get moving, get to the line of scrimmage, let Josh make his checks. Like, and if it ends up being a run play there, we can run the ball, just make sure you're successful on the ones you do run. But Josh can throw the ball 40 times this game and we can still win this game.
Yeah, I agree with that. you know, and take advantage of the secondary as well. It's not as strong as it was last year, for sure.
No, Eli Apple.
Right. Well, Eli Apple's trash anyway. But Dax Hill, who's a second year guy at the University of Michigan, that's my dog. at free safety. He's been playing pretty well. They got Nick Scott, who's okay. Cam Taylor Britt is a very athletic second-year corner out of Nebraska. I really like him. And Chidobe Awuzie is playing well, too. So there's still opportunities to be had, in that secondary. And I think if you stress that secondary with going 11 personnel, and making them, it's going to open up. I think it's going to open up the field and put these guys in conflict. So I think the Bills aren't going to have a problem moving the ball against these guys. I don't think that. I think the problem or the potential issue lies on defense. And I think the matchups this year, I think the Bills have consistently shown that they can apply pressure from the defensive line, which they weren't able to do last year. They're going to be able to do that. That's going to be the difference of this game. Who can apply the most pressure on the quarterback? And Burrow did look good scrambling last week. He had a couple good runs that I was impressed with. He looks fully healthy, which is great because there's no excuse now, right? I don't want to hear nothing but, well, Joe Burrow this. Like, no, when the Bills come and they.
That game last week was one with Joe Mixon going crazy. I'm not mistaken. I was in and out during that game sleeping, so I didn't like get the full gist of that game. But is that correct that game was one with Joe Mixon getting – large number of carries and going pretty crazy?
Yeah. Joe Mixon he had a pretty good game last week. Let me check on it real quick. He had 16 carries, 87 yards, and a touchdown, but the touchdown he had really broke the game open, sealed the game toward the end. A run off the left side there, outside the tackle. So, but yeah, he had some critical runs when they really needed the short yardage. He was able to do that, right? Yeah. So he had a good game. I just think that it all comes down to the defense for this game. Josh and the offense, I think they're going to do their thing. But what kind of pressure can the front four can they provide? Because you're not going to be blitzing DBs and stuff like that. I mean, unless you're using some simulated pressures, which McDermott has shown to use those. And I hope Rasul plays. I hope he plays a good amount. We'll see. But I think this is the perfect game for him to come in and play.
This is something I was having a conversation with Jordan on Sunday during this game, or Monday, whenever this game. The Bengals do an extremely good job at getting to third and short.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a bunch of like big crazy plays. They do what they need to do to get third and short, and they convert their third and shorts. And so if this game's going to be won defensively, if our defense wants to dominate as far as what they can do, they have to win first downs and by a large margin. That way they're playing from behind the sticks all game. If you can get Cincinnati to play, it's not like Patrick Mahomes where, like, even behind the sticks, he's still got a chance of getting a lot of first downs. If Cincinnati's behind the sticks to start with, they struggle playing one-dimensional football when the run game's not a factor. And so if we can get to our dime setup, I honestly believe that we can take away what Bengals want to do well, and we can't get to that dime setup if they're getting the third and shorts.
And for those who don't know, dime is where you're having only one linebacker there and the rest are DBs, right? So you're going 6-5-4, right? Or six DBs, one linebacker, four down linemen. And so what the Bills have shown in the past few weeks, they got Jordan kind of playing that Matt Milano role, and then they're sticking Taylor Rapp in the back end. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I mean, I hope Jordan is okay with it, because he's kind of having the dual responsibilities. But if they, like you said, if they can get them in third and long and let the boys up front, like, go after Joe Burrow, I think they're going to be all right. I think that's going to be huge.
Just keep them behind the stick. Like, and you can win. Like, they're basic on first down. Like, they've been basic. It's timing. They throw hitches to screens to their receivers, run the ball with Joe Mixon. Like, it's not overly complicated on first down. And it's not overly complicated on second down. They just try to get you to third and shorts, and they generally win their third and shorts, and that's how their offense has gotten so good. So it's not over. If our D-line can eat and the interior, Ed can go out there and have a big game, which is a big key to this game, is Ed having a good game on first down. If he can get out there and have a good game on one of the first three plays on first down, then this game can get blown wide open because our defense, if Cincinnati's playing behind the sticks, our defense is going to eat.
Yeah. And let's talk about the offensive line of the Bengals. So their starters are Orlando Brown Jr., who's a good left tackle, but it gets bad in the middle. Cordarrelle Volson and Cody Ford. Ted Karras is a good center. But he could be had. And then you got Alex Kappa and Jonah Williams at right tackle, who, in my opinion, is not that good. He could be had. So you can see clearly just from the depth chart, even if you're one of those out there who's never watched a snap of the Bengals, like I'm telling you right now that that offensive line is not very good. So like you mentioned, Ed Oliver got to have a big game. We need somebody to step up. Can Puna Ford have another solid game with Jordan Phillips backing him up? Well, Jordan Phillips probably start. Puna is going to back him up. But I felt like Puna Ford was definitely the standout there. If they can get pressure, if they can limit what the run game can do, I think that bodes well for the secondary and this team, like you mentioned, to get them in those long conversions, because statistically they're throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase over 50% of the time. When you go look at the target shares on the season, he's at like 60 targets. The next person up is the slot receiver, Tyler Boyd. He's got like 33. And then T. Higgins has.
Was I right 20. About T. Higgins? Was Gabboy right about T. Higgins?
He's still better than Gabe. Stop it.
No, stop it. Stop it.
Stop, stop it. No, stop
been,
it, bro.
He's been horrible this year. All good, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. He's better than Gabe. But whatever.
Another week, another correct statement.
We're not going with that. We're not going with that. Here's another thing. Let's talk about Dalton Kincaid's role and involvement in this offense against the Bengals. We saw last week Dalton Kincaid had his best game and the Bills were utilizing him early and often. And before we continue, everything we said last week about the Bills and how they were going to start the game and the 11 personnel and no huddle, they did all that. Just so
they
y'all
did.
Know.
Yeah, no,
everything that we said about the game last week happened.
They turned it off, though, and I was upset. I was highly upset. They got to the point where they wanted to run the game away and kind of like they took some shots, but they really wanted to control the ball in the second half. I would have rather them stay in the 4 minute, get up another touchdown, get up another score. And then once you get into the fourth quarter, you can do whatever you want to do as far as milking the clock away. But
right.
I feel like they got conservative late in drives. They played, did. You know what I mean? To the 50, they played a regular, pretty advanced game in the second half. But once they got past the 50, they balled up, kind of wanted to get the run game going on that side of the 50. And I wasn't a big fan of that. But everything else in the first half, how we wanted them to come out, that's exactly what happened for sure.
Yeah, the way they set the tone early. And, and the thing that you and I talked about, we said, hey, we feel like Gabe is one of those players where, just like Josh Allen, you got to get them going early and you'll get the best version of that player. And Gabe is one of those. And what do? They started going to Gabe early. They went to Shakir early and Kincaid
on
early.
The whole route tree. And
yes,
this is my problem with the way people look at Gabe is like, every time he has a bad game, it's when they want him to be a deep ball threat decoy. And he runs a bunch of deep ball routes, a bunch of posts, a bunch of fades, a bunch of like get out of here to clear out the underneath. Like when they open him up and let him run the route tree, he kills it underneath. It's just you have to be able to use him like that. You have to be able to open up you have to be able to trust him to run those routes, trust Kite or Khalil to run those routes, trust Kincaid to get out there and run the whole route tree, not just put him in a certain position and say you need to run deep balls all game. Like
it's what he does best. I get the philosophy of doing that, but here's the thing: when you don't have another option in the offense to send the ball to, so like when Gabe goes deep and what he does to a defense in terms of double coverage or shell, they're taking one side of the field. That's where guys like Kincaid and Shakir, not that they have to step up, because I felt like their route running has been consistent Shakir as of late, but Kincaid all season. This is where Josh has to make sure that he goes to them. He has to go to them. And then you talk about Khalil Shakir. I mean, you get the ball in his hand early. He can use yards after catch. Like, they gotta use the players that they have to their fullest ability, and not
this. This has been my thing with the whole targeting Diggs. Or Diggs is gonna get his catches and his yards throughout a game, regardless of how you play him, or how you target him, or how he's gonna get his at some point throughout the game. You have to. The way they played Gabe was the way they were trying to play Diggs in the first half of every game, this last game. And the problem with that is, okay, now you got Diggs going early. Now they're going to double him. Now what are we going to do in the second half? You know what I mean? Like, they have to be willing to trust these other receivers for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's something that it looks like is going to be fixed. Because look at the offense. What happens when you don't funnel everything to one player?
Yeah.
You know, I think you stunt the growth of your young guys. And I think you have to look at it like we talked about. Like, you have to get some of these guys need to be get going early. Like, you know, it's like a shooter. Like, you can't just, you know, take one shot in the third and then think, oh, yeah, I'm going to hit the game winner. Like, no, it don't work like that. You kind of have to get in the rhythm. Gabe is one of those players, you have to get him in the rhythm, right? He has to get that confidence that, yeah, he can make his bread short and intermediate. And that only is going to open up the field for other guys down the field, like Kincaid, who we have yet to see catch a ball down the field. But Khalil Shakir, you know, has the ability to do that as well. So I really do like what I saw from the Bills in the first half, first three quarters, rather, from the Patriots, not the Patriots, the Buccaneers game. But, yeah, the conservative play calling is something that I'm a little it worries me in terms of Sean McDermott. Like, if you're in plus territory, when you're in plus territory, why are you punting? If you're on the 38, what are you punting for? Like, that's weak, bro. That is so weak.
I guess I have more of a problem with the play calls on first or third down when we get on their side of the field rather than the punt. I don't mind punts that where we pin them inside the five and let our defense go out there, and like that was something that people had a problem with that I didn't personally have a problem with. Yeah. I have a problem with the play calls on first through third down when we get inside their territory. Sure. We're playing for a field goal, and I don't like not just putting your foot on their throat and getting it done and over with like we did against the Dolphins. And I don't understand how we go play the Dolphins because we have the mentality like, oh, they're going to score a lot, so we have to score, and we just don't do that every game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why we just don't keep it open every game. And I think that they'll get to a point where they get a good happy medium. The Kincaid and Shakir, those two specifically on some of these deep ball routes, like, that's going to come with our run game being successful. And it just hasn't been. We haven't had like first half long drives of just running the football. And we've had like sprint hits every here and there that kind of open up some play action, but there hasn't been a lot of time to throw the football where your tight end can run a long post route across the field or a gate route across the field. We just don't have that time. And I maybe one of the maybe because Knox is fairly good in the scramble drill, so maybe Kincaid starts getting some of these scramble throws and stuff like that and find some open space. That'll come with time. He's just not. Knox knows how to find open space in these scramble drills.
Whereas Kincaid,
Whereas Kincaid is kind of like trying to feel it out as he goes, and that'll come at some point. I just he's still got his little rookie jitter sometimes.
Yeah. So in terms of that, I think, you know, Dalton Kincaid, in my opinion, I think he's the key to the offense this week because, you know, they got Logan Wilson who's really good in coverage. And Jermaine Pratt's good too. I think he had a pick last week. You know, they now with the emergence of Kincaid, they're not going to be able to sit in zones as much as they were or like to. You know, they're not going to be able to just sit there. So, you know, when you have a Kincaid out there, he's a route winner. So you're going to have to like pay attention now because, you know, if you let Kincaid go, it's over. Like, Kincaid's going to burn you. in terms of the way he sets up defenders with his route running and his hands. So it's going to keep their linebackers on a swivel. It's going to make them be honest. I don't think they're going to be as fast in terms of instinctually, because they're going to be thinking about other stuff. Kind of resembles when they play the Chiefs. I'm not saying Kincaid is Kelce. It's going to be a similar role. I like the skill set. Kelce's way better. Obviously, he's the best tight end, in my opinion, that ever played the game. But I think it's going to be a similar challenge for them, knowing that they have a guy with that prowess over there for the Buffalo Bills and Dalton Kincaid. I think he's going to really have an impact in this game.
I'm going to go with Khalil, only because, like, if I go back and watch the tapes on the difference in his last game and the game before that, we got blitzed the same amount, and Khalil has been the hot route on the majority of these blitz packages. The difference in his last game and the game before is Josh was hitting him on these blitzes. And so, like, I'm going to say if Khalil can get the defense out of blitzing, because he's ready, and that's what Kelce does so well, right? Kelce understands defenses. Yes. And he understands where blitzes are coming from, when they're coming from, what hole is open. He has a mind of a quarterback. And so if Khalil can be that guy, which he is the fast, like, he's the get it to me now, I'll make a play out of it, get 4 or 5 yards. Like, that's been Khalil last week at least. And so if he can be that guy, I feel like he can be the reason this team gets uncomfortable on defense. The Bengals get uncomfortable on defense and start opening it up for us.
Yeah, those two are, I think, they're major factors, major keys to this game. As we kind of wrap up and come to a close on this, let's give our score prediction. I feel like this game is going to be a 28-24 kind of game. I'm gonna go Bills. I like the fact that they're playing this on the road, just to get the monkey off their back, if you will. Like, you know, the pressure's on the Bengals to perform, right? Because no one expects or thinks from the outside that the Bills have a shot. Like, the Bills are already a one and a half point underdog in this game. That's the first time they've been underdogs in what, 20 some odd games. I love it. Yeah.
This game could go one of two ways. It could be a 38-29, 30 finish, or it really could be a, depending on how long these offensive drives are, it could be a 21-17 game. Sure. I feel like both these offenses have shown an ability to have really long drives and continue to do that and just dink and dunk and take what they give you. And they also have the ability to score really fast. I'm going to say that we start ramping up the turnovers this week, and I'm going to go 31-20.
Bills. I would like that. I would like that. I would feel real good with that. A dub, and I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say, you know, get James Cook going on the edge, right, outside. You know, I think he'll have at least 70 yards rushing in this game. I think the output there is going to be really good. Josh is going to ball out. Diggs is going to do his thing. But like we talked about, you know, Kincaid and Khalil Shakir, they got to show up.
I also hope Rasul makes an impact this week. I kind of want to see Rasul play. I hope he can get up to speed with the playbook. I don't know how long that part of it will take. He's pretty smart from what I hear, so he should be all right there. I did want to ask you before we got out of here about the other moves made around the league and how you felt about them. We didn't really get to talk about it earlier.
Yeah.
And Sweat going to Chicago, didn't really understand that one. I wanted to get your point of view on that one, and then Chase going to the Niners.
So the Commanders, they have Magic Johnson. They got a whole new ownership group, right? So their whole thing is we want to get compensation. We want to get picks, because I think their idea, like, they know Sam Howell is he's okay, but he's not the future, right? Mm-hmm. So their thing is we're going to get as many picks as we can. There are six quarterbacks at least in the first two rounds, right? there's six quarterbacks, in my opinion, that are worthy enough to be selected. I feel like there's probably five quarterbacks that could possibly go first round. So I think you get those picks to give yourself the ability to move up in the draft, if need be, for the guy that they want, right? They're not going to – they're 3-4 right now, so they're not going to make the playoffs or anything like that, you know?
I understood it from there, but I didn't understand it from Chicago.
For Chicago, you know what I mean? The pass rush is king. You got to have a pass rush. And they're sitting so pretty right now in Chicago. Look, they already got two, you know, first-round picks that are going to be top five, right? So they're going to get their quarterback, and they're probably going to get Marvin Harrison. All right, because look, I think Justin Fields is playing his last days in Chicago. I think they're going to get rid of him. But they definitely, when you have a pass rusher with that upside, like Montez Sweat, I think you go get him for a second round pick and going to resign him, because they don't have a quarterback contract they have to worry about. So they can sign a guy like that. They really should keep Jalen Johnson, and I know he's going to be a free agent, but sign him to a lucrative deal. Like, you know, they got Marquez Stevenson the guy out of Miami, I'm probably butchering his name, but he's a really good corner. I think he'll be really good. So for them, I understand why they did it, is because, hey, we got
to. With that second, you can go get, you can go move up to having a third first-round pick, and then you can build exactly how the Jets built their defense through the draft, and their running back. So they had two defensive players and a running back, and you can just bolster your picks to really flip it. Like the Jets with that draft flipped, they were bad
before
that draft. They were the Chicago Bears now. And so, like, if you can stack first round picks like they had, you can really change your entire organization. And so, like, Montez Sweat has upside, but he's going to get expensive here in a couple years. I would rather, in my opinion, if I'm not going to win, if I'm not trying to win this year, I think it kind of just wastes the Montez Sweat period for the rest of this year. And then you have one more if he's not going to a winner, which is interesting to me. That move was interesting to me. I guess I understand that people need pass rushers nowadays, but.
And you don't want all young pass rushers. I think, you know, having a veteran guy in the room like Montez Sweat, I think is great. For them, I love the move. Now, Chase Young to the 49ers. That was a really good move, because guess what? If they don't re-sign him and someone resigns him to a large deal, they're going to get a third-round compensatory pick, what they pay for him in the first place. So you're getting a half-a-season rental at least on Chase Young. You pair him up with his old teammate and Nick Bosa. And then you got Javon Hargrave. I mean, Eric Armstead. These guys, that defensive line is loaded. So, you know, Bosa on one side. And you got Chase Young on the other side. So you really can't key in on either one of them. Like, you're going to have to pick your poison.
So I was pissed when – I wasn't pissed. Like, I don't want to say I was mad, but, like, when we weren't getting anybody. Like, when my mindset was like, oh, we're not going to get anybody. It's like, I'm watching Howie, whatever his name is,
Roseman,
out here and give a pack of gum and some cookie dough for these good-ass players. And then I'm seeing this Chase Young go to – the Niners, who are already stacked on defense, and we're not doing nothing to push the needle at all. Like,
no,
I was really happy. That was like the reason I was happy about the Russell Douglas. Like, obviously he's a good player, but if we didn't do anything, I would have been a little
surprised. Brandon Bean's background is finance, right? So his whole idea, he's gonna, I appreciate it, but in times like this, sometimes I wish he was a little bit more aggressive. He's gonna keep the Bills afloat financially. They're always gonna have enough money to operate. He's not gonna, you know, have these boys, you know, where they're like, you know, multiple million dollars negative on the cap. You know, he's his whole thing when he first came in was, we're gonna be competitive today and in the future. And he's done that. Now we got $128 million contract with Von Miller. He's nursing that injury, he's coming back to form. We definitely need to see that happen. Or that move is not gonna look great.
I think he'll be fine, many years left if any after this one. If I was to make a guess, him and Trey, like, I think those numbers come off the books quicker than we think. That not all of it, obviously there's gonna be some dead cap, but I think those numbers come off the books faster than we really think they're going to.
Yep. the key with what that makes sense with Trey is that they didn't restructure his contract. So if they restructured those years and that money's guaranteed. Right. So the fact that they didn't do that and they brought in Rasul, right? Because I think Rasul and Christian Benford, those are your two corners now, right? They, you know, is it going to give Trey, look, they're going to, I don't think they're going to move Trey anytime soon. Not this offseason. I don't think they're going to see what they're going to wait and be patient and see what they have. If he comes back and he looks good, all right. But odds are, I think he's probably played his last down with the Buffalo Bills, if you ask me. ACL.
If he's played his last down with the Buffalo Bills, I think he's played his last down in football. I think if he doesn't come play with the Bills, whether if it's at any type of role, whatever, I think he would stay here and play. I don't think he, in my opinion, I don't think he would go anywhere before he retired. I think he would just retire.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I love Trey White, but those are two major injuries, man. I don't know if he's going to be able to really get back in the form. And obviously, he wasn't the most athletic corner anyway. He won because of his instincts and his headiness, right? So we'll see, man. I like the Rasul. You know, the more we talk about it, the more I like the Rasul Douglas signing. We'll see how it manifests and plays out this Sunday. But long term, when you think about the playoffs, I think it was the right move, right where to go. And yeah, I'm bummed just like you that, you know, the Bills didn't make a splash, but it is what it is. And
I still want Ndamukong.
Yeah, go get Ndamukong Suh. That'd be great. That'd be dope.
I'd be good. Obviously, I want a linebacker, but I would be good with where our defense at if they went and got a guy that I know on an important down. If we need to stop a run, he could be in there.
So. Yeah, with Ed, yeah, that'd be dope. Well, it's Halloween night, man. I'm sure everybody's out doing their thing with their family and so forth. But let's go ahead and sign off here. You know, it's been great. I can't wait for this game coming up, dude. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be wild, man. Sunday Night Football. I'll be doing the post-game show. It'll be late, but I'll be right here on Sunday night with you guys. You know, Albert Poe, are you going to the game?
No.
So you're gonna be here. All right. Cool. You'll be at home. All right, bet. Well, hey man, it's been real. Happy trade deadline day. Happy Halloween to you all. This is the Chop Up and we out of here. Peace.
I need it up front. Can't tell me cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stunt. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stunt. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it.
Everything around my whole team, though. You ain't getting money, you literally ain't never seen, though. Tell me where the cash at, I tell you where the stash at. I've been getting to it so long, been having flashbacks. I